Today's Mishnah Masechet Machshirin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Beit Mishnah Tet. Motzaba Basar. Now remember, we continue here our discussion of a Perek which is focused on the din of Rov, where we rely on a Rov, and where we're Machmer on a Mechza al Mechza, which started with Mamish, the dinim of Machshirin, and the type of water that is dripping, the type of water that became mixed, and moved on to other issues of Rov and Mechza al Mechza. And we got into a discussion of the dinim of a city, which is populated both by Akum and by Yisrael. And so we talked about maybe finding a child in the city on the stairs of the church or something like that. And we move on today to finding meat in the street. So matzah b'basar. Now the question is that, of course, the halacha is that you go according to the rov in the event that it's not kavua, which means that was something that was poresh from that which was in its place. Now, when you find a piece of meat in the street, obviously that's not its store. And therefore, let's take a look at the most butcher shops. So, Ochin Achar Rova Tabachin, where you've got raw meat being sold by different butchers. If most of the butcher shops are owned by Akum, the assumption is that this meat is not kosher. If most of them are Yisrael butcher shops, which sell kosher meat, then it would be kosher. Now, this is a big problem. Just imagine the standards of kashrus by our standards. Yes, it's mostly kosher, so if I found it in the street, it's perfectly all right for me to put in my cholent. I dare you to get any guests to eat over with that kind of action, right? But, you know, what can you do? People don't like the terrorist dinim anymore, but that's the halacha of rov. Now, the question is that this Mishnah seems to be completely ignoring a very important other problem, which would make all of the issues of the butcher shops moot totally. And that is the concept of this Gavi idea. I don't know, it keeps disappearing over there. The Gavi idea of Boser Shenit Aleim Min Ha'ayin. Boser Shenit Aleim Min Ha'ayin is that, according to Rav, we have our own Boser Shenit Aleim Min Ha'ayin idea. According to Rav, who was very machmer on this concept of Boser Shenit Aleim Min Ha'ayin, it would be the minute that a piece of meat was not under Shmira, it is considered to be instantly not kosher. And this was a special Chumra that Rav held was Nogea, the possibility of a piece of meat being switched, and birds will often take away meat, and so on. So this was a special gezera. So how in the world, if you find a piece of meat lying in the street, how could Rav understand this Mishnah if Boser Shenit Aleim Min Ha'ayin would be Aser? He has to explain that the Mishnah is talking about where you were walking down the street and you see a couple blocks ahead of you, a person walking, and he drops this piece of meat by accident. His backpack tears open. The piece of meat falls out. But that piece of meat was never unobserved. So therefore, the question of whether it was an Aleim Min Ha'ayin is not part of the issue. And the only issue is, where did this meat come from? I have no idea who this guy is. Don't know if he is Yisrael. Don't know if he is an Akum. How do I determine whether that meat is kosher? So the Tanakhama is telling us over here that you go according to Rov HaTabachim. How about if it was Mevushal? How about if it is cooked meat? So if it's cooked meat, then your Hochim HaRov Ochle Basar Mevushal. Let's say that you have most of the tabachim, the butcher shops, maybe kosher butcher shops. However, most of the people in town who use meat and cook it up are actually not Yisrael. So then your question is a more recent question. It's the question of who cooked up this meat. And there we'd have to be Cheshesh, maybe a goy cooked it up. And therefore, you would have to aser it. Actually, this is the way that Rav explains these sugyas in Chulin. The Rambam Kedarko takes the Mishnah, according to Rav, paskins that the Boser Shina Salim and Ayin would be Usser, and understands the Mishnah, or gives over the Mishnah, as not even discussing whether it's kosher to eat. It's certainly not kosher to eat. The question is, do we have to assume that it's Tameh because it's Boser Nevela, or can we assume that it's Boser Shchuta and it's not Mitami? Mishnah Yud. Continuing on, in the person who is now walking through the street, and he has no idea of these peyrot that he found on the road. He had no idea whether they were already considered to be nigmar melachtam in terms of maaser or not. Now remember, you're allowed to eat peyrot without taking off maaser if they were never nigmar melachtam. But that's only where a farmer had grown these things, or a householder had grown these things, and his desire was to eat them, to bring them home and to eat them. So then, if that would be the case, then if Tilly actually brings it into his home, which is called Roya Pnei Habayit, it would be mutter to eat from those things without taking off maaser. If, on the other hand, he's a commercial farmer, and what he wanted to do is now complete. He wanted to grow this stuff, pack it up in boxes, and bring it to the marketplace or ship it to Europe. And then the question is, there's no more that he's going to do to be Gomer Melachto. At that point, it becomes Chayev instantly when his work is finished. And you do not know whether this is commercial stuff or whether this is private stuff. So Hamotzei Peirot Baderech, you want to know whether you're allowed to eat them without taking off maaser. It also goes according to the Rov. Im Rov Machnisim Labatehem Patur. So if most of the people in town that would be utilizing, that would be maybe dropping Peirot and that grow Peirot, since this was Eino Roe Pnei Habayit, and the halacha is that something that is meant to be brought into the Bayit are mutter to eat, this is talking about, it would be okay. But if something was meant to be brought to the shuk, and it's a commercial din, so then if it's a molech l'shuk, the moment it's nigmar melachto, which is the last thing that you need to do in terms of the actual peros themselves, at that point you wouldn't even be allowed to eat it, even achilas arai, because it would already be kavua from isos. However, if this is a private person and he wants to bring this into the house, until he actually brings it into the house, he is allowed to eat it on a non-permanent basis. He just wants to take a little piece. He's not feeding it to guests and so on. So therefore, we need to know who is the intent maker of these payroll. So if most people will be private individuals bringing labatayim, it's potter. If most people are commercial farmers, Limkor Bashuk, it's Chayev. If it's Mechza L'Mechza, you have to treat it as a suffix L'Chumra. Now, even though it uses the word Demai, that is very confusing because obviously it has nothing to do with Demai. Remember what Demai is. Demai is a special takana that the Chachamim made that you know perfectly well where these peros come from. You bought them from the person. He had them even in his house. That wasn't the Shaila. The Shaila was, he is an Am Ha'aretz. He's not particularly makbid and is very knowledgeable about the dinim of Maisras. And we found that there was a small proportion of people who did not take off Maisras, even though they did take off Truma, but they didn't take off Maisras. It was too expensive. And so the Rabbanim made a takana that since there were people like this, anyone who buys from someone who does not have the title of chaver, meaning so he wasn't mekabel on himself, to be careful about maaseres, you have to be machmer on yourself, min rabbanan, even though min yoreis you'd be allowed to rely on the rov, you have to be machmer on yourself, and you'd have to take off again the various matones, and you know the halachas because of what is sona futz today. You don't have to give it, unless it's osur b'achila for a zar, but you have to separate it out. Here, when it says demai, that is absolutely wrong, because over here, we don't know whether it's chayiv and meiser in the first place, and was never meiser or not. It's not a question of whether it was done by an amaret, and therefore, we're only using the word demai in a totally borrowed sense, that since demai has come to mean it's a suffix, so we mean treat it l'chumra mitzad ha-suffix, and even if you want to eat it with the achilas arai, you are mechuyev to take it off mitzad ha-suffix. Okay, now this is actually a complex halacha, and the remuzim about demai turn out to be very important in terms of how we understand the Mishnah, because I'll just mention this to you. It's not part of the pashtus of the Mishnah, but I'll just point out to you that in this particular case, we may need access to the dinim of demai. Why? Because the din of sveik sveika is similar to the din of rov, according to many shitas. Because what a sveik sveika does is it makes it a miut that you should have to worry about the problem that you're worried about. So you have suffix A, and even if suffix A is true, it's only a small proportion of that suffix, so it's a sveik sveika. Well, over here, it is a sveik sveika. Because we have no idea whether what I found was even chayev b'meiser, because maybe it was from people who intended to bring it into their home, and they never did. And even if it was from someone who was losing it commercially, it might have been meisered. We don't know. So therefore, it would be equivalent to the concept of suffix, which is demai. That is what lies underneath the surface of the strange language of the Mishnah. Whether sveik sveika gives us dinim that are similar to the takona of demai, or whether this is a straight-out chumra. Now, suppose you have an otsar. So you've got this silo, and it's being used by different people. You have Yisrael putting in their tvua into it, and you have Goyim putting into it. And now you do not know whether this is meisered or not. Now we know for sure that if the Goy put something into it, it's absolutely was never meisered. But of course, that raises another question. Are things that are raised by a Goy in Eretz Yisrael, are they chayev in meiser? Because it's Eretz Yisrael? Or are they Potter and Meister because they were grown by an Akum? This is another Gavi Tik, and we're going to have to get a bunch of extra pens, I'm afraid. And that's because we have a Machlokas about whether Yesh, or in brackets, Ein, Kinyan La Akum, Eretz Yisrael, Lafkia Min HaMa'asrot. Well, Rabbi Meir Shita, who is saying this halacha, as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Meir Shita all over, is that ein kinyan la'akum lafkia min ha-maisras. And therefore, if a goy had grown it, it's definitely chayev in maiser, but he definitely didn't take off the maiser. So therefore, if rov of it would goyim, then you take off maiser with a brocha and so on, and it would be the equivalent of a vadai, mashe ein kein. If it's Rov Yisrael, then it would have the same din as demai, because you would not be mechuyev to take off the things that you don't normally take off. You don't, if you buy something from an Am Haaretz, so the halacha over there is you only have to take off Trumas Meiser and Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani, if it's year of Meiser Ani, because those are things that require a great deal. When it comes to Truma Gedela, we say, since Chita Achat Poteret HaTakri, another Gavi idea, the din is, therefore, you can assume that that was taken. But how about if it's Mechza LaMechza? So the population here is half Yisrael and half Akum. So then the din is, you treat it as Tevel Vadai, Divrei Rebbe Meir, and therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, if you've got Rov Goyim, you actually treat it as Vadai. The Chachomim say this entire conversation makes no sense, because since the Chachamim hold Yeshkinin Liyakum Lafkiya Min HaMaisrais, so according to the Chachamim, if it belonged to a goy, it wouldn't be Chayav HaMaisr at all, because the goy who owned the farm and who raised these things does not have to. A Yisrael who buys from does not have to take off Maisr. And therefore, everything would have been Potter if it wouldn't have been for the part of the Yisrael. But if a Yisrael is Matil Atocho, doesn't matter how many there are, so then we have Peros here that are Chayev, but only Chayev in Demai. So even if a Yisrael Echad is Matil Atocho, so therefore, there would be, in this case, a din of Demai Midrabbanan, even if one Yisrael is Matil Atochai, because of that part that is owned by Yisrael, and the chelik of Yisrael is not considered to be botel in the chelik of the non-Yisrael. So it would be chayav in Demai. Okay, gentlemen, it's been tons of fun.